Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
You have to say words, Lindsay.
I know. As I was waving, I was like, Becky's about to say something.
She did this last week. Last week, she just started waving. And I'm like, there are still people only listening to us on audio and not watching us on the YouTube, which is cool, you know, but.
I always forget that. I know, because I was like, yay, now I can just wave. No, I can't just wave. I
have to
both parts.
Both parts. We have to do both parts. Anyway, it's been a week. But it's okay. New week starting. We have book club at the end of this week, and there are so many good books releasing in March.
So many.
But like I'm also at like that choice paralysis. Like, what do I read next? Although this episode helped me pick my next read.
Nice.
As I prepped for this, I unlocked something new. I didn't even know that I had this feeling.
I feel like there's this that like feel like that sound on Zelda where like when you unlock the treasure chest and it's like, I mean, gets higher.
Yeah, it is. It kind of that does fit. So we're gonna deep dive into this because we have lots to talk about. I'm probably thinking it's gonna be a little longer episode. We've been going a little longer. I'm worried we might go a little longer this time. So today we're diving into the debate that has book lovers and writers constantly talking. What is the difference between fan fiction and a retelling? Both take inspiration from existing stories, but where do we draw the line? When does a reimagined story go from being a fanfic to a fresh, marketable retelling? Because there are some clear differences. Now, we need to be very clear. Fan fiction is based on intellectual property. We are going to talk vague about fanfic. We will talk about authors that come out of fanfic. But we also understand that the stories they're writing are clearly their own stories. And while they might have inspiration from the fandom they came out of, they are unique and brand new stories and not... they didn't steal anyone's intellectual property. Okay. So that's the caveat on that. Because fan fiction is a sticky wicket.
Wild, wild west.
Well, it cannot. So here's something. I don't know if you guys know this. So fan fiction cannot be printed and bound.
Yes. I only know that because of all the talk around Banicled.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Until it got
picked up.
Whatever they did, they picked it up and they reworked it somehow. But yeah.
They're going to re-edit it, but it cannot be printed and bound and sold. You as a fanfic reader lover, you can print it and do it in your own house, whatever you want to do with it, but it cannot be bound and it cannot be sold. At that point, then you are liable for stealing intellectual property.
Yeah, and you'll see people that have fanfic that's closer to the actual story, like, make disclaimers to cover themselves.
I think it's also why you get, like, so many different formats of fanfic, because they have, like, forums, and it's got its own little internet world. And there's anything from, like, super shorts, like, really short stories, to, like, ongoing sagas where it's like years of posts.
And I do believe that this episode is going to show our age.
Well, mine and yours probably.
Yours and mine, yes. Because so I have to be really, really honest. I did not ever read fan fiction on the intranets, ever.
Me either.
Same.
This episode came out of me like needing someone to explain it to me. So
yeah,
let's be clear.
Lindsay, were you a fanfic reader?
No, I didn't have the internet. Oh. I mean, I had dial-up, if you call that the internet.
Okay, so Jenny is our only real fanfic reader.
Okay, and I started reading fanfic in probably 2007, 8. So like this, everyone's smart starting to get smartphones, and I
Yeah.
definitely had like notifications for my favorite.
Okay, well, what fandom were you in?
Twilight.
Twilight?
Yep.
Sue says she was in Twilight too.
Yeah, that's it's so weird. I like my children are huge fanfic readers, huge fanfic readers. Final Fantasy, Minecraft fanfic. Didn't know that existed, but
Oh, I could
apparently
see that. Yeah.
there's a whole queer underground of Minecraft fanfic. I don't know,
Interesting.
but my girl
That
child reads
doesn't
it.
surprise me. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I do not. I never did. There's actually an article over on our website about what is AO3 because that was a comment and a question that had come into one of my DMs that they had heard us talk about it at something and they did not know what that was. So I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll put an article up for you. And I did, but I had no idea what it was.
I had to look it up.
People need to write fanfic inspired by The Expanse. Like, I've been talking about that series a lot,
I
but
bet it
like,
exists because there are rules.
probably. But the main character has six moms and two dads.
Okay, but wait. So there are internet rules, and we did not know these internet rules existed until November of last year of 2023. So almost 2 years ago, November 2023, my child educated us on Rule 34, which we're not going to talk about Rule 34. If you want to know what Rule 34 is, just go to the internet and type in Rule 34 Internet, and that will tell you. But we're not going to talk about that rule. We are, however, going to talk about Rule 37, which what is Rule 37, Jenny?
If it exists, there is a fanfic for it.
So your Expanse probably has a fanfic. There also is Rule 44. If it exists, there is a version of it for your fandom. And yes, AO3 is the platform in which fanfic is published. And it's.
Also fanfic.net.
But that goes up and down, right? Like there are times where
Yeah.
those servers will be turned off.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's old school. Like, it is not cutting edge technology. Like, it is host, and that is pretty much it.
See, and I didn't know, like, apparently Sailor Moon is a really big fanfic too.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know this stuff. This has all been
And
new.
maybe Stacy said she might have written some Buffy fanfic herself. I might need to read that, Stacy.
So there are lots of ways that fanfic can be written and put into mainstream romance without touching intellectual property, and we'll talk about that. But before we get into what is fanfic and what is retelling, we're going to define each of them clearly. So who wants to read the fanfic definitions?
I'll do it.
Go for it, Lindsay.
Fanfic definition: a work of fiction that uses character settings or elements from an existing work, books, movies, TV shows, etc., but is written by a fan rather than the original creator. The key parameters are: it uses copyrighted or pre-existing character settings or worlds, often explores alternate storylines, relationships, or perspectives not in the original work. Typically not officially licensed or published in mainstream markets, and created as a tribute, expansion, or reinterpretation by fans.
Okay, Bonnie just said that she used to write Dr. Quinn fanfic. I can see that. That Sully was hot.
Can you please share that with us?
Yes, Bonnie, now you have to
Oh, Dr.
share. Jane Seymour, she just, she took it like a good girl.
Who was the guy? Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Joe Lando, something Lando. I think it's Joe Lando is his name.
He was hot. His name was Sully on the
Sully.
show, and I haven't
Ooh.
seen that
Star
in a million
Wars
years.
epic hero type name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to define retelling?
I'll do it. Okay. Retelling definition: a reimagining of a well-known story, often updating the setting, themes, or character dynamics while maintaining the core elements of the original. Key parameters: based on public domain works, for example, fairy tales, mythology, classic literature, or original concepts with a fresh perspective. It maintains recognizable plot beats or themes, but may change the setting, characters, or genre. Often professionally published and marketed as original fiction, it can be modernized, gender swapped, or genre shifted take on a familiar story.
So here is something very interesting to know. So if you have the rights for a play or a Broadway show that you bought, like straight out, like you're a high school and you're going to do Hello, Dolly, you cannot change any of the source material. You can't make Dolly a dude. Henry cannot be changed to a girl. Like, so if you do a play or a show in production that you're going to receive money for and you've licensed that show, you have to do it as it is written.
No, I
So
did not know that.
the idea of retellings is very interesting to me because it is something that I struggle with because of my background in theater. You
That
can't
makes sense.
change things. And so when someone is like, well, it's a retelling of Jane Eyre, well, what do you mean? You can't just retell Jane Eyre. It has to be, has to be what it is. So it's retellings. I have an easier time understanding fanfic than I do a retelling.
Oh, see, and that's interesting. I'm the opposite because if it doesn't like match it at least a little bit. So I'm used to a retelling where it's just a couple of things are similar or based on or whatever, but it's still changed up. Like I have an easier time with that than I do fanfic because I never know what fanfic they're coming from. Like unless somebody tells me, it flies right over my head.
What about you, Jenny? Or do both of them intrigue you? Or.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by both. Like I said, I read a lot of fanfic, and then yeah, like my favorite show was Once Upon a Time, which was pretty much a retelling of all the fairy
Yes.
tales meshed together.
That's another
I
really
love that
good one.
show.
What about you, Lindsay? Fanfic, retelling, you don't.
I thought, okay, so this brought up something really interesting for me because I would have said before, like we talked about this, that I would have said like definitely retellings, but the Smarty Pants world is fan fiction,
At its
and that's
finest.
probably my favorite. Like I've read an insane, I would say I've read way more books in the Smarty Pants world because there's like 50 plus now. There's
Yeah,
an
that's a
insane amount.
lot.
It's crazy, what's happened, and I would say like because of that. And then like that's kind of taken off with some other authors. I don't think they're the only ones who do that, but I would say like because of that, I think I tend to like, 'cause there's like some Susan Stoker fanfic too, or like her world, like when they share the worlds, like is that fanfic?
That
That's
is
fan.
fanfic. That is
That means I
fanfic.
like it more.
So, like, we had the all the Akakihiro books out of Vi and Penelope's world. Those would have been considered fanfic because source material, they were borrowing it, reimagining it, pushing them into different places. And then I think Corinne Michaels had her Salvation Society that did the same thing. And you had Kay Bromberg that did the same thing in her racing world, where she opened it up for authors. And the idea of a shared world like that is really, I think that's really awesome because what happened was, is all of those authors are fairly well-established authors, right? Like they're kind of that top list author. They opened their world and helped lift up new authors. Jay Sommen came out of Salvation Society. I'm trying to think, like Jiffy Kate came out of the Smarty Pants world. So it's, they were writing before, but it really was that launch to success that that share world helped them, that
Yeah,
mentorship.
and see, I love that. I just don't realize that's fanfic when I'm reading it. So I do really enjoy it. I just like I'm it flies over my head that that's what's happening. But then Stacey points out, she said that, a lot of like the fantasy and paranormal series are retellings, and that's totally true. And I would say I probably lean more towards that.
Yeah. So here's a couple of things to just kind of break it down a little bit more, and then we'll go into some of our favorite retellings, books that are based off fan fiction, authors that came out of fan fiction. So one of the first things is source material and ownership. In fanfic, they're using copyrighted material for from an existing work. In a retelling, they're drawing from public domain stories or reimaginings in an existing concept. So gender swap of Beauty and the Beast. We've read a couple of those. Or I think M.L. Philpott's, her Fractured Fairy Tales series, her Cinderella reimagining was one of my favorite because it used Primal Kink, which the chase, that mm-hmm. is part of Cinderella. Like, it was a core way to do it that made sense, right?
Right. She, and I will say, like, that whole series, like, she does a really good job of taking select elements to make it, like, match up well enough that you can identify it. Yeah.
So it's good to remember that in a fanfic, if it is even going to lean slightly into the fanfic, so for example, Cocky Hero Club, Smarty Pants, they had permission of the people that hold that intellectual property to write in those worlds. So that's a big deal. J.K. Rowling is giving no one permission to write Hermione fanfic. She has given nobody that. Lucasfilms is not giving permission to anybody to write Kylo Ren fanfic and turning it into a book. Like, he's not giving anybody any money. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's one of the things to remember when you're going through this, like, you didn't know that was fanfic. That's because the owner of those intellectual properties are not given permission, and permission is a big deal. In a retelling, you'll often, it's books that are part of public domain, which happens after 100 years, I believe is the, yes. It might've currently changed. Mickey Mouse is the driving force of public domain. Did you guys know that?
Yes, I did. Only because I saw an article when the Steamboat Willie character just came up, and then they were talking about the whole Winnie the Pooh that happened recently. So yeah. I watched a whole like documentary on that. So yeah.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse is the driving force of how long before something. And I think Happy Birthday is the other one. Are the ones yes. that come in.
Yeah, because you couldn't say, yeah, you couldn't sing Happy Birthday like on the internet.
Right. Or forever.
In a movie. Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting, you know. In a retelling that you don't need permission, in a fanfic, if you're going to use existing characters and name them in the book, then you would need permission.
And as well, like a longtime fanfic reader, because like sometimes I still go back and read some of my favorites. Some people will put like a disclaimer at the beginning or end, like, hey, these characters solely belong to Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah.
Or whoever it may be.
So, and one of the questions that often gets asked is, at what point does fanfic become so transformed that it could be considered a retelling? And it used to be a percentage. The percentage used to be 40% inspiration, 60% original new ideas. But I think it could even be lower. I think it could be a 20%, because if we look at Tessa Bailey's It Happened One Summer, it's a fun story. It's fun. People really like it. It's Schitt's Creek. Like, that heroine is very inspired by Alexis from Schitt's Creek. And while the story in of its own is different enough, I still think that there's like a good 20% that you can tell it's Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, and I read it, but I don't know the Schitt's Creek part, so I can't speak to that. But yeah,
that's okay. We can pick another one. but I think that if it's to become a retelling, I just think it has to hit the key beats of that original story.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you have very specific things like. In Beauty and the Beast, you know, she's kind of being held, maybe,
right,
yeah.
against her will or not. There's usually going to be a library somewhere.
Well, and he's closed.
Stockholm syndrome.
He's closed off, unapproachable, yeah. hiding away. Deformity sometimes plays into that. I mean, I don't think she has to sing songs and be, you know, from a French village
No.
for it to be. Lindsay, what's your thought? Do you feel like when does it become fanfic to a retelling? Do you have a percentage in mind?
Not really. I mean, I think with a retelling, I expect the storyline to be fairly, well, it's really hard because, like, it can be all over the place. Like, typically they'll take like story elements, but the characters can be totally different. Like, sometimes you'll get a cinnamon roll instead of the grumpy beast, and I don't
Yeah.
know. I
So
think, or, I don't know. I don't.
Jen Ellen in the YouTube comments brings up Morgan Elizabeth's book and where do they fall under? Are they loosely based on movies and or songs? And I
I would
don't.
say Karen Gray is probably in that same vein,
Yeah.
right? And I don't know, is that fanfic?
I would say that this is where inspired by
Yeah.
becomes the key word in all of their promotional material. And I'm not picking on Morgan Elizabeth. I'm not picking on Karen Gray or anyone like that. But as I went through this list of fanfic authors, and I think I said this before we started to the girls when we were getting ready to go live here, I venture to guess probably more than 70% of our current top tier romance authors came out of fandoms. I don't think anyone's had an original idea in 3,000 years. Maybe Jesus is the
3,000
last original idea
years.
we
Oh
had.
my gosh.
I don't even, that's probably not even original, Becky. Come on now.
Right.
Mike just said that from the other side of the room. He's like, Jesus wasn't really original either.
Yeah. I'd
I
rather not go there.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, some of my favorite fan fiction was considered OOC, which means out of character. And the way I
Oh.
always explained it to my husband, it was like they're either using the world like the scene, so for Twilight it'd be forks, but I kind of thought of it more of like actors, like because they just like took the characters and sometimes they keep the name, like most of the time in fanfics they keep the names and like the physical characteristics, but the people would act completely different, so out of character for them, in canon. So it was kind of, I could see as a writer, like a baby writer, that would be really easy because you have like a whole group to kind of pull from instead of like pulling that from thin air.
Well, and I think that something like 50 Shades of Grey, which we all know came out of the Twilight fan fiction, it was the first noted popular book of an author that came out of a fandom, next followed closely by Christina Lawrence. I think that part of the reason that that book did as well as it did within the fandom community and then kind of translated out was that out of character mentality. You know, they took Edward, who you saw some of these alpha male, asshole, alpha hole tendencies in his books and in the movie. And you, as an older woman, when I watched
Like,
them, because I was not a YA reader, I was an adult when I read those, I had children. I wanted those more. I felt like that would be a more dynamic character than the asshole that he was.
that's fair.
And so I think that that is part of the. She created these characters that had lots of dimensions, but you could even pump up those dimensions to make them even more over the top.
Yeah, kind of like mixing it. Like, you know, like they
Yeah.
become grumpier or I don't know, more demure.
Jen Ellen is like sitting at home confused as all get out right now, you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jen Ellen, we're gonna help you because we're gonna stop talking about it and we're gonna start talking about the books and whether or not they're retelling or fanfics. Okay, so here come all the book recs, and you're gonna go, really? Because I did a lot of, oh, really? Moments as I was researching this episode.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting on Becky to tell me what they all are because I have no idea. I can give you retellings, but I don't know what any of these fanfic books are.
Well,
Have some
you have some?
trees. I think so. I mean, like I think like I think they've actually really taken off in romance. Like, if you think of the definition of fanfic and then you think about like how many author shared series, like Max Walker is about to start releasing books in a shared cowboy series. Like, that would be a
Oh,
fanfic.
yeah.
Writing in a shared world. So, like the Cozy Creek series that came out, the Mason Creek, like a lot of authors who do the novellas that are in the world, I would say like those are fanfic. Not in like the traditional sense that you would
No.
think, but like where you're agreeing to share a world and building a shared mythology together or like a shared world, and like everyone goes in their own direction. Every story is unique. It's all loosely tied back together, but you see like the repeat characters. So like we talked about the Smarty Pants world, we talked about the Susan Stoker one. But yeah, like those are pretty much the ones that I thought of with the fanfic. And like that's what made me think that I tend to like the fanfic stories better. And I think part of it too is like when they write in these groups, they tend to have a different approach to the resources. So it seems like things are more consistent when authors like write in there. And then like with Smarty Pants in particular, if you look at like Carla Sorensen and Jiffy Kate, like their writing style changed a little bit after the Smarty Pants stories came out. Like if you read their series before versus their series after, like you can see how their approach to editing changed.
Well, I also think there is something to if you're given a template of the beats of a story. So if I'm given the template of the beats of a movie, it's like when we go into a rom-com movie, right? We expect there's going to be a meet cute, right? We expect it's
Yeah.
going to hit certain other beats of that story. There might be a third act breakup or some kind of moment that the romance has to be in question. And then we get the grand gesture and the happily ever after, right? Now, those are the
Yes.
very bare basics, but you just handed somebody kind of stereo instructions and said, hey, here's the basic beats. But if you want to jam out at a 10, here are some extra beats to help you out. And I feel like fan fiction is like when you put the leash on your kid. They think they have freedom, but really you're holding on tight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
That makes
and
sense.
I think there's like a sliding scale like through this. Like there's like strict retellings where like everything's pretty much the same. There's the like slightly changed, like we talked about gender swapping or like fixing something else, and then there's like the fanfic that is very much in the world, the characters act like they do in the original work. And then there's like completely off the rails, like only using the description. And even sometimes it isn't even that. Like sometimes the setting is completely changed, or I mean, people can really take it.
So, and one of the things that I read a really interesting article through all of this as I was doing this research, that a lot of analysts of the book market feel that part of our troping of books is a direct result of fan fiction readers leaving the forums and coming to the mainstream. I also believe it is the reason that so many readers are acting like romance is brand spanking fucking new and that they
It
discovered it. Because there is kind
makes
of this
sense.
wall between fanfic readers and mainstream readers. And it's just now starting to move. Because you got Amanda and I who never read an inch of it.
Yeah, that makes sense because in fanfic worlds, like you can definitely just click on a trope and then like click your fandom, and it's going to give you a whole list of stories that meet
Yeah.
exactly that. Are
So,
we also going to talk about lemons?
of what?
Lemons?
lemons, like the fruit lemons.
Obviously, you're gonna have to talk about
I
it.
didn't, this is not a word that I came
I'm
across in my.
really, I'm surprised. So,
I spent a lot of time on Reddit too. I don't even know what a lemon
yeah.
is.
Okay, so if a book, a fanfic has lemons in it, it has sex scenes in it. So there's like flight lemons, like there's one shots that are just all lemon. But like, yeah, usually people make a disclaimer that like, why were this? It contains lemons.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You people are like in the gray web of like no adults entered this space, and no adult, like no grown up is actually going into that space, but y'all can't say the word sex. You got to call it lemons.
Is
Correct.
it
like a, does it get filtered out or something, or is it?
I mean,
Jenny
usually,
only
like,
read the ones with the lemons, so she doesn't know.
well, like, I read a lot on fanfiction.net, and like, it would filter out like anything that the rated M for
Okay.
mature. So,
That makes
like,
sense.
yeah, lemons would probably be like a way to get around that. Like, you would still rate it M. But to like tell your audience, hey, look, like this is why it's rated M.
So we are no longer going to have pop. We're going to let you know
When
lemons.
does
Jeez.
it get squeezed? Like, when are we getting juice?
The juice happened at 41%. Thank you for
The juice
coming.
is loose. Oh my God.
Now I'm gonna like go back and look at your Goodreads, Jenny, and see how many lemons you've got in your Goodreads reviews.
I'm really surprised you didn't find that.
No. Yeah, hi, Janellen, I have this question too. Who picked lemons as the code word?
Why
I
do
have
we
no idea.
carry this over into romance? Like, why is it spice, which is very subjective, instead of like how many lemons were in this book? Like, were there 12? That's pretty dang spicy. It was there just one.
I
That's
mean,
like why
she's
are we telling
tart.
books with only one lemon, five
Yeah.
spice? Like,
Did they
lemons
make
are
some
more
lemonade?
available.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. How tart is that
Amanda,
lemon?
you're over there holding your eyes and like shaking your head. You're the one that
No, I'm
said the
laughing. I'm
juice is
laughing.
loose.
I'm not. No, I'm not judging. I'm laughing. I'm just
Like,
trying not to be loud about it. That's why I'm holding
you
my
took it to
face.
the next level.
I know.
I mean, I would say that like the lemons factor is a much more reliable factor for talking about like spice in books for our community. Because I would say like I would expect typically like a 3+ lemon book.
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
fair.
Stacy's telling us where it came from.
So according to
Oh,
Reddit, it's from an anime in the 80s called Creme Leman. So okay. Another thing
call it
to
partially squeezed lemons if it's not all the way.
partially squeezed. So it's like just the tip.
About some zest?
So it's just the
Just the
zest of the
zest.
lemon. We're just getting a zesting.
Yes.
They
So
didn't
much more
squeeze
fun than
anything. It only
spice.
zests.
Oh, I'm sorry for anyone who listens to us in the future because we are going to take this and run with it. I'm pretty
I feel like
sure.
lemons are going to be a thing now. We're going to need a lemon
Yep.
sticker. We had a peach sticker.
Yes,
I now
there
f
is.
feel like we need
Yeah.
a lemon sticker.
Text Leah.
Right, Leah? We need a lemon sticker. Okay, another thing to note is in fanfic, they are heavier in dialogue and banter because they don't have to spend as much time building a world because it already exists. That translates, you can tell that when you start hearing who fanfic authors are. They
Yeah.
also are banter writers and dialogue writers and not writing heavily into building their world out. So, thought that was an interesting piece.
That makes
Yeah,
sense.
it does make sense.
Also, back to lemons real quick. If it's MM, do they have limes then? Or are they like the mixed
There's
grapefruit
still
or
lemons.
something? They're still lemons?
Yeah.
I didn't know if like the fruit, the citrus fruit gender
Yeah.
swapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in my experience, they do not distinguish
Okay.
different kinds of citrus for
These are all things I needed to know.
Coupling.
Do we want to start with retellings or do we want to start with fan fictions or just kind of I'll tell you fandoms and you can tell me what books you might have found in that fandom? What do we want to do?
I don't know. Let's just be chaotic.
Oh, well, because it hasn't been that.
Yeah, I think, you know, just let's status quo.
Okay, so we're going to start. We'll start with the most popular fandom to produce romance authors. It is Twilight.
Yep.
But I really think that has to do with an age thing more than anything else.
And I don't know. The authors that I like that came out of that fanfic, I don't know that I would say, like, any of their books seem like fanfic or retellings to me.
Have you read Jiffy Kate's Table 10?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Reads Twilight.
And I have no idea. I need to reread that
because I totally missed that.
I just downloaded it because they have all three books, like the first two are free and the third one is 99 cents right now. I just downloaded them. So yeah.
Wall Banger by Alice Clayton is she's out of Twilight fandom. Deborah Anastasia, her Poopski book is her Twilight retelling that she pulled out of her fandom, rewrote it, and published it. The Submissive by Tara Sumi. It was published at around the same time she and E.L. James wrote together. Like, they were writing in the fandom at the same time. So it is, I think it's like 6 books long. Her guy runs a BDSM school that you can, and with his sister, and they teach people how to be.
Well, that's a choice.
Okay. Subs and doms. It's very interesting. But they don't end up together. Like, they're not doing it,
right?
Guys.
Yeah.
But it was in reference to Edward. And isn't it his sister,
Alice? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
That, like, once you said that, yeah, I'm like, that makes sense because they have like a special connection.
Yeah. Pucked and Clipped Wings by Helena Hunting both are reversions of her original fanfics. So, which makes sense because I do not think that Violet is a very likable character, and I don't think that the Bella from Twilight was a very likable character.
I would agree. And I was like, I mean, I read all the Twilight and then dove in. And yeah, I would agree.
You saying that makes sense because, like, the things I didn't like about Bella are the same things I don't like about Violet.
Yeah.
Although I do think Violet is, like, much more interesting than Bella. Like, Bella was not an interesting character at all. Let's talk about flat as a freaking piece of cardboard.
So Sally Thorne's Hating Game is actually out of Twilight fandom.
I'm starting to think I don't like Twilight fandom because I haven't read any of these books.
I read
Twilight though.
Okay, so those are Twilight fandoms that I thought we should talk about. Then we have Harry Potter is another big over-the-top fandom. We get a lot of Germaine, which is Draco Malfoy and Hermione Granger remashings, popular fanfics that are going to be published, that are being re-edited and published, is Manacle and Chains and Rose by Julie Soto.
That's right. I forgot about that
so
one.
Those are coming out. The Atlas 6 by Olivia Blake. It is not a romance. It is, I think it's science fiction.
Is it? Okay. I've seen it. I don't know.
It came out of Harry Potter. So the Fake Mate by Lana Ferguson. She wrote in several fandoms. So she wrote in Kylo Ren fandom. And then she also wrote in Harry Potter fandom. So the nanny is out of her Kylo Ren fandom. The fake me is out of her Harry Potter fandom.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know Harry Potter at all, but
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't either. Again, it was Runix who wrote Gothicana.
Gothicana, yeah.
Yeah, that is out of Harry Potter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And actually, Runix was her. That's her fanfic name. That was what she published
Oh.
under fanfic.
Oh.
So she
Okay.
took her user fanfic name. The other one that did that is Golden Angel.
Oh yeah, that would make sense. That's a
So
good
Golden
fanfic
Angel, that
name.
was her
Yeah.
name. She was publishing on a forum. She was paid to publish on a forum erotica and
Okay.
erotic fanfic, and then,
I think the one who's doing I forget her name, but the one who's doing Manacled is publishing under her fanfic name when they do
Yeah,
Manacled.
Sin Lin Yu.
Okay.
It's Senlin and then Yu. Okay, Roses and Chain, which is releasing this summer. Love Hypothesis came out of Kylo Ren fanfic.
I know Not Another Love Song by Julie Soto did also come out of that. I did read that. I don't get how it's fanfic, but I did read it and I liked it, so.
Okay, so fanfic authors that came out of Reylo Roots, Allie Hazelwood, Julie Soto, Jessica Clare, Thea Gazon, those all came out of Reylo. Oh, and also my roommate is a vampire. She came out of
Oh, that looks really
Kylo
cute.
Ren fanfic also.
That's interesting because I feel like because the movies came out, we had to wait a little while. So that gave people time to like create their own stories and endings. And I mean, because I was not satisfied with the movie ending, but I could see how that would
Here is the biggest shocker that came
intrigue
out of
someone.
fanfic for me in all of my Reddit like reading. Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston is actually fanfic for The Social Network.
I was shocked when you told me that.
I was just like, who? Like, I
She
mean,
used to write in the Social Network fandom, the Facebook fandom.
but
I
we're
just,
convinced that it's because of Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Aside from the
So neat.
movie,
Who? I hope so.
Justin Timberlake even in the social
Yeah.
network? Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he played Mark Zuckerberg, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
because I don't feel like that's a movie you're like watching over and over again, but I could be wrong.
I thought that was Jesse Eisenberg.
No, I thought it was Mark. I thought Justin Timberlake was in that
Justin
movie.
Timberlake is the Napster guy, and I think Jesse
Oh,
Eisenberg
yes.
might
Oh, is
be
Mark
Mark
Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg, but
Yeah.
they're
Andrew
both in it.
Garfield's in it, and Justin Timberlake,
So
and
maybe it's
Jake.
Andrew Garfield fanfic. I could see that.
Yeah.
He's a
No, yeah,
fancy name
that
and
would
I
make
like him.
sense. I forgot he
Yeah.
was in it.
Okay, here's another one.
Sorry.
And I would like a raise of hands of how many either checked out, put this book on hold, or bought it today when I announced this one. So Rachel Reed has a bunch of hockey romances. So Game Changer, which was the original one for her, is Marvel Steve and Bucky fanfic.
Yep, added it to my Kindle today.
I bought
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
My response when you told me that was that, like, did you see the Hear Me Out cake episode?
Yes.
Because, like, it's not Steve and Bucky that was, it was more like Falcon and Winter
Yeah,
Soldier.
but
But
both. I want both. Yeah.
close enough.
Okay,
It's close
so
enough.
here's an interesting one. I think you guys will appreciate this one. When Beauty Tamed the Beast by Eloisa James, who, she was writing before fanfic, right? That book is a house, the TV show House, Beauty and the Beast fanfic. She said she pulled a lot of inspiration from House and Beauty and the Beast when she wrote When Beauty Tamed the Beast.
Huh.
That is an interesting mix-up.
So, Buffy has a very rabid
Oh,
fan
yeah.
base. Did we know this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talia Hibbert came out of Buffy fanfic.
Really?
Mating the Huntress. was actually originally published in the fanfic. She pulled it and rewrote it.
I like her books, so that makes sense.
Born to Be Bound by Addison Kane is out of the Dark Knight Rises fanfic, and the MMC is very Bane, and it's Omegaverse. So it's as if Bane lived in the Omegaverse.
What is this book called again?
Born to Be Bound by Addison Kane. It is Dark Knight Rising fanfic, but the MMC, it's an Omegaverse, so you have to know Omegaverse. The MMC was inspired by Bane.
Yeah, I know a little bit.
So,
Okay.
anyway. Oh, Stacy, that explains why I love that novella. The Dead Romantics is also started out as Raylo fanfic by Ashley Poston, I think, is the one who wrote that one. So that was my fanfic searching. Anyone else have any fanfic ones they want to talk about?
No, I mean, I really haven't, other than like a couple of Julie Soto books. Like, I really haven't read any of those books, and I don't know that I've read a ton that's based on fanfic. Not that I'm avoiding it, I don't know. So,
Well, and I don't think it's as clearly identified because, like Becky was saying, the intellectual property, like, I'm sure that gets a little sticky, especially with the bigger fandoms.
Well, and they have to, when they pull it, so if they decide that they want to write, let's say Allie Hazelwood, her Love Hypothesis, her original fan fic, when she decided to try to query that to publishing, she deleted all of her fics from the forum and deleted her user. So you have to dig the archives of the web to even come across some of the original fandom on that one. And that is pretty much how it goes. So when E.L. James wrote 50 Shades of Grey and was going to publish it independently, she removed her name from the Twilight fandom, took down all of her fics, and then went and took the steps to publish. Because she had to take it out and change it so that it didn't even have anyone name Edward in it. So I'm pretty sure, you know, because most of these people are working with editors. There are some that I question, but they're working with editors and they're really making it their own story. But the inspiration in the original, the roughest of drafts might have been in the fandom.
So I had one that's like a loose fanfic that we didn't talk about
Yeah.
yet, but we've talked about this book a lot. And it's Wolf Gone Wild by Juliet Cross. It's a Venom fanfic, sort of, where
Really?
Mayo is deeply based on Venom.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah, that makes
That fits. I
sense.
love it.
Yeah, and there
We
can
just
be
watched the new
more.
Venom the other day.
There could be more that I didn't. I am very much guaranteed that there is. I'm sure there is Reacher fanfic out there, and who, John
Wick.
Wick. I am
Oh,
sure that
yeah.
there are some mafia romances out there that are heavily inspired by John Wick. I am sure, but those were just. Listen, you guys, we can't have a 7-long-hour episode.
Well, I
No, but
was
it
just
sparks
putting that one out
conversation.
there because, like, it's.
Well, I mean, there's
I
even
don't.
for books. Like, I remember reading Sweet Valley High fanfic. Like, when the books weren't coming out, like, quick
Yeah.
enough, like, I needed something to fill the time. And.
That's so bonkers.
I'm sure there's Nancy Drew Hardy Boys
Oh,
fanfic,
yeah.
I'm sure.
I'm sure. Okay, well, let's talk about retellings now, because I feel like we have to give some love to the retellings. Would you like to know what is the most popular inspiration for retellings?
I think I
Beauty and the
know
Beast.
that. Yeah.
No,
Nancy.
Hades and Persephone.
That's what I was going to
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hades and Persephone
Yeah.
is the most popular retelling.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Followed by a close second of Beauty and the Beast.
I like most of the ones I tend to like are Hades and Persephone retellings. That's always really fun.
And I have some.
A few of
Hold
those,
on.
yeah.
I have some. in this.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I went through a phase with the retellings where I read a lot of Little Mermaid retellings, where
That's
instead of
another
falling
popular
in love
one.
with Prince Eric, she falls in love with some variation of the sea witch, either a man or a
Oh.
woman. Sometimes they're, anyway, there's like a whole world here. Sometimes they all three fall in love together. There's like a whole world there for you if you're curious.
Katie Robert did that in her
Yeah.
Sea Witch romance, which is part of her Wicked Villain series.
It's a three, right? Like it's where all three of them
It's
fall
yeah, I
in.
think hers is, yeah.
Yep. And actually, to be honest, Katie Robert writes a lot of retelling.
Yeah,
Neon
the
Gods is
dark
based
oranges.
on Hades and Persephone. She
The whole
has.
Dark Olympus. I think
Yep.
all the books in Dark Olympus are retellings of Greek mythology. I think it's Greek mythology.
It is, yeah.
Well,
And then all of her wicked villains are like villain retellings. And I think that's where the Sea Witch one is in the wicked villains.
she did her black. She just did a multi-author series that just released last month.
Yeah,
Or
the Black Rose
was
auction.
it last month or last week?
It was the end of February.
So the Black
So,
Rose
yeah.
auction series is fairy tale retellings. Hers is Rapunzel.
Yeah, Sav's is Rapunzel.
Sav's is a Rapunzel. So is
Yeah.
Katie's.
Is it Katie's? Okay. I thought hers
Divine
was different.
Intervention by R.M. Virtues is Goldilocks. Jenny Norbeck's is Rumpelstiltskin, and Sarah Kate's is Cinderella.
Is Sav's Rapunzel? Did I get it wrong?
Yeah, no, Sav's is
Okay.
Rapunzel. Other authors that use a lot of retellings. The third most popular retelling is Jane Austen. So Pride and
Yeah.
Prejudice, Emma, Sense and Sensibility, Persuasion. And Nikki Payne has a series, Pride and Prejudice, or Pride and Protest, I think, is book one in that series. And then Nisha Sharma has started writing If Shakespeare Were Aunties.
Oh, is that her new?
That's her series that she did, Dr. Dating Dr. Dylan.
Okay.
Those are
That's right.
all Shakespeare retellings. And Chloe Lacey, the Wilmot sisters, is her Shakespeare retelling. Her Bergman family is Jane Austen retellings.
Oh, listening to you name these off, I think I found a better way to distinguish. Like, fanfic tends to have the characters are somewhat the same, or at least the pairing the same, although not always. But the retelling, definitely the story lines up, like you were talking, like an outline.
Yeah. And you can see that, like, Pride and Prejudice is probably one that I've read the most, I would say, because I've read Saloni Dev's, her Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors. Curtis Sittenfeld, he wrote Eligible, which is kind of like The Bachelor meets Pride and Prejudice. And, there are so many. If we start, like, really.
Yeah.
That's one that I've read a lot of. Ones that I thought were interesting. Lenora Bell, she writes historical romances. If I Only Had a Duke is a Wizard of Oz retelling.
Oh, yeah. I really like Wizard of Oz. Emily McIntyre's Wretched is a Wizard of Oz, but villain.
Yeah.
And it's not, she calls it more like a fractured fairy tale. She had to change a little bit of it when she sold to Bloom so that it wasn't too close for some of the names. But that one's one of my favorite.
And then I found a list of books that are inspired by Broadway, which then is inspired by others. So, for example, West Side Story, which is Romeo and Juliet, we know that Priscilla Olivera's, her West Side's love story, which is the
Oh, okay.
dueling mariachi bands. That is West Side Story, which is Romeo and Juliet. Like, no source material is safe.
All just living the same stories over and over.
I mean, but we obviously love them.
Yes.
I mean,
well, yes. And then you have, like, My Fair Lady, which is inspired. I can't think of the original, like, French novel that inspires My Fair Lady. The Kiss Pygmalion? Quotient. What is it?
Was it Pygmalion?
Yes, Pygmalion. Yeah. Bringing Down the Duke by Evie Dunmore. Those are all My Fair Lady inspired. And that's the other thing. I think for either fanfic or for retellings, it's inspired. That's the word, right?
Yeah.
Loosely based on. And then we have, like, Les Mis, Courting Miss Hetty by Pamela Mussori. It's a historical romance that has shades of Les Mis with the class and social struggles. Sound of Music, The Governess Game by Tessa Dare, The Von Trapp Women by Rebecca Bridges. And then, of course, you know, there's Cinderella. And The Showgirl by Nicola Harrison is based on the Ziegfeld Follies and deals with the glitz and glamour and drama of Broadway. Jane Eyre seems to be getting her moment. I found a mafia Irish romance this weekend by Alex Key, A-L-I-X Key, that is a Jane Eyre. It's called The Irish Brute. So I'm reading that, but apparently I have to read Rachel Reed first because, you know. The Wife Upstairs by Rachel Hawkins, which is a romantic thriller with a twist. That is a Jane Eyre retelling. Amelie Howard, she has her Beauty and the Beast retelling, which is The Beast of Bestwick. So, and Amanda, I know you read this one. The Court of Thorns and Roses. Would you say is a Beauty and the Beast?
No, oh, you read that one? I didn't read that one. I read Throne of Glass, and no, I don't know.
So people claim that that's a Beauty and the Beast retelling.
It might be, but I didn't read it. But if you want, like, a paranormal Beauty and the Beast retelling, I highly recommend Deliciously Dark Fairy Tales by K.F. Breen. That's a really good one. That's definitely Beauty and the Beast. It's, and there are dragons. Just saying.
I like a good dragon. What do you got, Lindsay? Do you have any favorite retellings? Do you guys have any favorite retellings?
I mean, half the time, I don't know that these are retellings. I mean, if I think about it, I think we didn't mention The Invitation by Vi Keelan, which is a Cinderella retelling, which is one of my all-time favorites.
I think Midnight Dynasty does a good job with having different ones.
Oh, the Skywarn world?
Yeah, because you've got the Beast of Bishop's Landing, which is the Beauty and the Beast. You have the Cinderella trilogy, and then there's an Alice in Wonderland. There's a variety in there if you're looking for kind of like some dark retellings.
The other thing that's interesting is because Janellen brought up Morgan Elizabeth, but Cat Sebastian, they write It Takes Two to Tumble by Cat Sebastian. It's a Ted Lasso. A vicar helps a grumpy sea captain manage his unruly children, leading to an unexpected romance. And then You Had Me at Ola by Alexis Daria has some Ted Lasso vibes. And then, of course, there are Schitt's Creek retellings, which we of course said It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey, but the new Lucy Score that's coming out later this month, Story of My Life by Lucy Score, is a Schitt's Creek retelling.
I think that's interesting.
Well, and to be honest, I'll tell you, as someone that writes up comps for authors to sell their books to publishing, we write that. So, like, Lucy Score, when she sold this manuscript, it's described as a blend of Gilmore Girls and Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying Gilmore Girls recently on descriptions of books. I don't think I've read any of them, but yeah.
Well, and there's the one that had the Pumpkin Spice Cafe that her last name, like her author last name is Gilmore. Like,
Yeah.
we got the vibes you're going for there, sister friend. Like,
Well, and that's like the market, right? Like that younger age group, well, younger than us, like they loved Gilmore Girls. They grew up on Gilmore Girls, so
I mean,
But K.A.
I
Lindy had a
watched it, but
series. Go ahead.
I don't like, I have a really unpopular opinion about Gilmore Girls. I didn't love it. I really didn't like it at all, and it's not something I'd want. Like, if you were marketing it as a fanfic or like a book similar to, it would not be something that would inspire me
And I
to
don't
read it.
think it was so much, I don't think they use Gilmore Girls as like the mother-daughter dynamic. It's the small town dynamic. The small
Yeah.
town that's in your business that everybody knows everything about everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think like Stacey was
Yeah.
talking about maybe when I said K.F. Breen, she said it has tones, but she wouldn't call it a retelling. And I think that's the case with like a lot of these things. Like there might be one specific element, like with the Gilmore Girls, it's like you're latching onto the small town part, or you're latching onto something else, and it might not be a direct
The
like,
Luke, the hero of Luke,
yeah.
kind of that grumpy bare minimum,
Yeah.
but a soft heart for the girl that the town is raising kind of vibe. The other thing to think about in retellings versus like a fanfic, in a retelling, they can mash several things together, right? You don't have to necessarily stick to the world. So we see that with Sarah Bale. She, The Little Mermaid, her Little Mermaid character ends up with Tarzan. So, but she used those characteristics to help sell the book. And a lot of times in things like, especially in the romantasy right now, we see the sales pitch a lot, not referencing Fourth Wing, but referencing other fantastical places like Harry Potter meets Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, I'd be fine if someone wanted to take J.K. Rowling's to the Red Wedding. That's all I'm saying.
You're in to meet the dragons.
She could meet the dragons. So I think that, again, the key word out of all of this is inspired.
Yeah.
Inspired. So, because I don't think you can call it a Cinderella retelling if there isn't some kind of like lost item. And I still don't know how I feel about like current pop culture items such as Gilmore Girls. Or I was going to say K.A. Lindy had a trilogy called Cruel Money, her Cruel Money series, and it's based on Gossip Girls.
Oh, I saw one recently, Cruel Intentions, and I was like, ooh, I need to read that.
Yeah, I mean, I loved K.A. Lindy had a whole world as if Gossip Girls, like, they grew up and didn't necessarily
Nice.
get past their mean girl mentalities, and they got their comeuppance, is all I'm going to say. And I really liked it. I really did like that series. But I wonder if the shift in the market will change a little bit as. Writers obviously are going to be starting to be a little younger. So, will we see more of the things like, video game type stuff being a little bit more present?
Probably. I mean, whatever's gonna get readers in the door, I think, it's and we're getting to that point in culture that, it's a really big part of everybody's life. So I think we see more of it.
Now, one of the things that I do like that we've kind of started to see, and I loved it when we got it in Spoiler Alert by Sophie Dade, where they explore the ideas of fandom and how they work into our everyday lives.
Yeah, I was so lost in that book. Like I didn't, I mean, I really liked it. It was good, but I was so confused. I was like, what is this? Yeah. So showing my age here, but
But
yes.
my one big fan by Ruthie Knox and Annie Marr, they explore like that these two actresses were part of a TV show that has a fandom that was, and the fandom really believes that they are queer coded, you know. And also, if anybody has any recommendations of supernatural books inspired by the supernatural fandom, my girl child's asking.
I
Oh,
don't.
yeah, I would also like those books.
Yeah, I'm sure they are out there. I think there's a big missed opportunity in the rom-com world not doing like a found family situation like New Girl, where everybody lives together and finds love. And it's like a bunch of unique and crazy personalities coming together. And just like there's so much potential there. And like nobody has done that I'm aware of. If they have, like tell me. But I
Yep.
can't think of a
Don't you
single
think
one.
that's kind of Mariah Inkerman though? If she isn't hasn't written it, like that new series that she has that's around the brewery.
I don't know. I haven't read that yet.
I'm sure it exists because I know several authors that are huge fans of New Girl, so I am positive it exists somewhere.
But I think there's more like individual character inspiration, not necessarily like the dynamic.
Yeah, you want the like community that's created.
Yeah, like the found family, like they lived together for years in that loft, like the
Yeah.
crazy, like the Like I just there was that one scene like where Jess takes Nick to her boyfriend's house when she's got the much older boyfriend, and like he's just like he like falls in love with her boyfriend because he's got all these nice sophisticated things. But
Well,
it's there's so much potential with like that kind of
yeah,
dynamic.
there's situations that only arise when you live with people.
Exactly. I'm here.
So I hope we cleared up the difference between fanfic and retellings. Did we? No?
Which is
Probably not.
just, basically us telling you to send us your recommendations
Right.
because we
Feel free
don't
to send us
know.
more books. Tell us who the fandom is. We'll read them and let you know what we think. Okay, so that's it for fanfic versus retelling. So now we're on to the best part of your week. The best part. It's Book of the Week. It's Book of the Week time. Amanda, what's your Book of the Week?
Okay, so my book of the week this week is Just My Type by Tara Sivek. It's the did I say her last name right? Okay. Anyway, it's book two in her
Probably the wrong
hometown
person to say
series.
yes, but.
Well, somebody probably knows other than me. I haven't heard it said out loud. But anyway, if I got it wrong, I'm sorry. But it's book two in her hometown series. I read book one and book two recently, and they're so funny. They're just like really good rom-coms. I really like the way she writes. In this book, it's Ember and Baker. Ember is pretty fresh out of a divorce. She's a single mom, and she and Baker meet because she's transcribed an interview for him, and it gets sent back to him by accident with all of her goofy notes about the transcription. It is so funny, and he ends up like emailing her about it. They have like a like banter back and forth over email, and like he owns a gym. He's a military veteran who'd been hurt, and he opens a gym for other military veterans. He's just like a really nice guy. He has a great sister. They're like, I mean, it's like banter for days, and there's a hedgehog that gets named after porn stars, all I will say, and it's so fun. Like I highly recommend the series. I'm gonna probably get to book three soon.
Okay. Jenny, what is your book of the week?
I'm currently reading Pure Country by Kelly Fox. I was just having a really hard time getting into anything, so Kelly's one of those authors that I can usually like read anytime, and this is I don't know the series name, but it's the second book, so it's 2 years after the first book. I don't think you would need to read the first book. It's male male. And what's interesting is like Rowdy is one of the characters, and he's kind of like everybody thinks he's this playboy slut type, but he's actually a demisexual guy that isn't like having any sex.
Okay.
Interesting.
Lindsay, what's your book of the week? Are we off Space Goo or are we still in Space Goo?
No, we're going to be on Space Goo a while. Like, it's a 5,000 page saga, and I'm just like fully immersed in this world. I have been reading other things in between. Like, it's a very long series, 5,000 pages. It is a romance by definition. I do believe they get a happily ever after. I'll tell you when I get to book nine. They're happy for now. They're happy for now. That's the important part. But no, I have been reading some. I'm actually reading Falling Madly by Enny Amanda right now. That one I'm not done with yet. I am enjoying it. It's not like my all-time favorite book, but I do enjoy it, would recommend it. It's very cute, small town. And then I did like for my actual recommendation, it's Formula Fling, the Sawyer Bennett F1 series she has that's coming out. Like, that is such a good series so far. Formula Chance came out this week. I haven't read that one just yet, but
But they're going to be
really,
in KU. She's putting that whole series in KU. So.
it is so good. She did such good research. I don't know anything about Formula One, but like the little details she included made me feel like she knew what she was talking
She's
about.
obsessed with Formula One, obsessed with it. So.
Well, she included, like, what I really like about her series is there's a lot of little Formula One details in there that you don't necessarily see. And then the racing team is the Titans Racing, which is owned by, it's like an expansion of the Pittsburgh
Yeah.
series.
Oh, nice.
Bryn Norcross is the owner. So.
Okay, so my book of the week, I actually read it a couple weeks ago, but it's one of those I cannot let go. So we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to convince Jenny to read it.
Okay.
I Got Abducted by Aliens and Now I'm Trapped in a Rom-Com by Kimberly Lemming.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm
I'm on.
obsessed. Okay, it's inspired loosely by The Wizard of Oz. It is sci-fi paranormal, but time makes sense. It's Y Choose, and she has some aliens named Sol and Loke. And she crashes on a prehistoric planet, and there's dinosaurs. Her name is Dorothy, but she goes by Dory. And she has a PhD in wildlife. Anyway, her companion on her journey is a talking lion, and his name is Toto. And like peril and a twisty plot and stakes and laugh out loud. And it's why I choose, and it just there's aliens and dinosaurs and a talking lion. It's fantastic.
You
And
had me with dinosaurs. You've been reading a lot of dinosaur books lately.
I have read some books with dinosaurs in them.
These ones
Didn't
are
realize it was
alive, I
Wizard of
think.
Oz.
These are alive versus last week's were,
I hope
decomposing.
everyone got their copy. Mine arrived. It's beautiful. Of
I
course.
did get one.
You're so funny.
You were laughing last
Anyway,
week.
those are the books of the week. Patreon update. Oh, I forgot to look. Okay, well, we'll do that next week. Swag pack sponsoring author for March is Lizzie B. Brown. She is the author of Obedience, and you can find her books in Kindle Unlimited, and they're available now. She has a Friendsgiving romance also. She writes a lot of queer romances, but I think she has four or five books out right now, and there's a lot of gender exploration within her books.
Yeah, my understanding is Friendsgiving is Friendsgiving.
Yes, friends giving things.
Yeah.
Yes. Make sure you're back here Wednesday night for our discussion of Whitney, My Love, as we continue on March. The books Becky demands you all read. So I'm looking forward. I finished Whitney, My Love. I have different, it's still a fave. Like, you cannot take it away from me. But reading it in the eyes of 2025, I can't wait to talk about that with everybody. If you would like a list of books we talked about, you can check out our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can also find a list of all of our Wednesday episodes on our website. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our romance community, romance-loving community enthusiasts or something. I don't know. Come hang out with us. We're a lot of fun. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, or like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring you more exciting content every week. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what we're talking about next week, but we'll be back on Wednesday night, and you will not want to miss it because I am sure it will be delightful.
I think we're doing fake dating.
Are we going back to fake dating next Sunday?
I think so. If not, it's soon. Yeah.
It's either fake dating or maybe it's age gap. Did we decide to go age gap?
And no, get you're doing age gap while I'm away.
Oh, we're doing that while you're away. Okay, I don't know. We have books to talk about, so we'll be back with more Rex next week.
Yep.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.